This content is AI-generated for informational purposes only and should not be directly used for clinical decision-making.
Hello and welcome back to the Neurosurgery Hub podcast. I'm Dr. Aris, Senior Attending Neurosurgeon.
And I'm Dr. Alara, Research Fellow. Today we're looking at a fascinating new study from the journal Medicine, published in 2026, titled Effect of Anterior Cervical Discectomy and Fusion versus Laminoplasty on Spinocranial Angle in Patients with Multilevel Cervical Spondylotic Myelopathy, a retrospective cohort study.
This is a topic that comes up daily in our clinic, Alara. When we are dealing with multilevel cervical spondylotic myelopathy, or MCSM, the choice between an anterior approach like ACDF and a posterior approach like laminoplasty is often debated. This paper specifically looks at how these surgeries affect the sagittal spinal cranial angle, or SCA, and how that correlates with clinical outcomes.
Exactly, Dr. Aris. The researchers looked at a retrospective cohort of 120 patients treated between 2014 and 2021, with at least a 24-month follow-up. They had 51 patients in the ACDF group and 69 in the posterior laminoplasty, or LP, group. They used serial radiography, CT, and MRI to track several metrics, including the C2-C7 Cobb angle, CSVA, and the T1-SCA.
And it's worth noting for our listeners that because the T1 slope isn't always visible on standard films, they used a surrogate C7 slope to maintain accuracy across the cohort. Let's jump into the clinical endpoints first. What did the JOA scores and NDI tell us?
Well, the good news is that both procedures significantly improved all quality of life metrics. However, when we look at the final follow-up at the 24-month mark, ACDF yielded a superior neurological recovery rate, 50.50% compared to 44.98% for the laminoplasty group. ACDF also showed a significantly lower neck disability index, or NDI, at 12.90 versus 14.97 in the LP group.
That's a statistically significant difference in NDI, with a p-value of 0.009. But the real meat of this paper is the radiographic analysis, specifically the spinocranial angle. For the residents listening, remember that the SCA is a key indicator of sagittal balance. What happened to the SCA in these two groups?
This is where it gets interesting. At the final follow-up, the ACDF group presented a larger C7 slope and a larger C2-C7 Cobb angle. But conversely, the ACDF group showed a reduced SCA, T1-SCA, and CSVA compared to the laminoplasty group. In fact, the study found that ACDF independently drove postoperative SCA reduction, with a beta of -11.52.
So ACDF is effectively reducing that spinal cranial angle more than laminoplasty does. Now, why does that matter for the patient? Did the multivariate regression clarify if these radiographic shifts actually caused the clinical improvements?
It did. The multivariate analyses confirmed that ACDF was an independent predictor of a lower follow-up NDI. But here is the crucial part. They found that an elevated delta SCA, the change in the spinal cranial angle, independently aggravated the NDI. Specifically, for every unit of increase in delta SCA, the NDI increased by a beta of 0.38. Interestingly, though, neither the choice of surgery nor the delta SCA was independently correlated with the JOA recovery rate.
That's an important distinction. It suggests that while the type of surgery impacts neurological recovery, the specific management of the sagittal balance, the SCA in particular, is what's driving the patient's subjective neck disability and quality of life.
Precisely. The authors conclude that relative to laminoplasty, ACDF reduces postoperative SCA and improves both NDI and neurological recovery. However, they are very careful to mention the study's constraints.
Right, the retrospective, non-randomized design. In our world, that means we need to wait for prospective randomized verification before making this a definitive gold standard rule. But for now, the takeaway for the surgeons in the audience is that ACDF might offer a slight edge in restoring sagittal parameters that lead to less postoperative neck disability in multilevel disease.
And as always, the paper emphasizes that surgical selection should be individualized based on the specific patient pathology and their baseline sagittal balance.
Well summarized, Alara. It's a great reminder that neurosurgery isn't just about decompressing the cord, it's about the long-term biomechanics of the spine.
Definitely. Thank you for joining us on the Neurosurgery Hub podcast.
We'll see you next time.